And welcome into a Thursday edition of the Nick Craig Show, streaming live this morning on YouTube, Rumble, X, and Facebook. Don't forget that you can take the show with you 24/7 on demand by checking out the Nick Craig Show in your favorite podcast app. You can also listen online by visiting the website nickcraig.com. This is a tough one. This is a tough one. I have been in and around political media now for going on the better part of almost a decade. And whether it was doing behind the scenes work and some fill-ins and some hosting over at the Big Talker here in Wilmington, hosting the morning radio show on 980 The Wave for almost 3 years or a little over 3 years. Or since this new endeavor, the Nick Craig Show, which started earlier this year, it's not often that I'm at a loss for words. It's not often, and it can't be in this space when you're tasked with doing something like this that you can be at a loss for words. This is a really tough situation to try and deal with. This is a really tough situation to try and wrap your head around and rationalize. And I'm going to do my best to give you my thoughts on everything that has unfolded over the last 15, 16 hours or so. Of course, talking about the horrific situation that unfolded in Utah yesterday afternoon when Charlie Kirk, the founder of Turning Point USA, the political lightning rod, the conservative activist, was assassinated. Not killed like some of the headlines are reading this morning. No, he was assassinated at an event at a college campus doing what he loved, doing what he was hoping so many more would be willing to do, which is stand up, speak your mind, challenge individuals, get challenged on your beliefs, and be able to have some level of public discourse, some level of public dialogue. Just let that sit with you for a second. Having the ability to speak your mind, regardless of whether you would deem it controversial or not. Being willing to stand up and speak your mind to certain people is such a scary thing that the solution to you, the solution to that, is to murder you. The way to deal with somebody saying things that might challenge your beliefs, might challenge your ideals to some, is to execute them in front of 3,000 people. That's what happened yesterday at Utah Valley University. That's what happened to Charlie Kirk. That's what 3,000 people watched, and now tens of millions across the internet have seen unfold in front of their very eyes. And I will say to you that that is a very scary situation. It is a very sad sign of our political times, of our time as a nation, regardless of right, left, Democrat, Republican, conservative, liberal, regardless of any of that. It is a sad state for our country when having the courage to speak your mind is enough to take a bullet to the neck, which is exactly what happened to Charlie Kirk yesterday. And I mentioned this in my Morning Line email this morning for those that are subscribed to that. It's a daily email that goes out every morning at 6 o'clock, completely free, 6:30, I should say, available over at nickcraig.com. I wrote this. Charlie Kirk believed conservatives must never be silenced. He wanted us to challenge what's called normal without fear and in his memory, speak boldly and without hesitation. And if you have spent any amount of time watching or following Charlie Kirk and the folks over at Turning Point and what they stood for, that's exactly what he would want people to do. He doesn't want us to cower in fear. He doesn't want us to keep our mouths shut, to placate those that we have political disagreements with us. No, he perfectly embodied challenging what is considered normal. He embodied challenging groupthink, challenging what you're being told is fact and reality. And for that, he was assassinated. And so there's a lot of questions this morning, more questions than answers, as officials in Utah, including now the FBI and federal officials, are on scene. They are still in the process this morning of trying to hunt down the gunman that fired just one shot that killed Kirk yesterday on that college campus. So it is still a very active law enforcement scene that is unfolding. And so there are more questions. Who is responsible for this and why? But while that some of that information is still unknown, I think it is hard to look at. It's, of course, incredibly hard to look at the video, which I'm sure most of you have seen. If not, I would highly recommend you do not go in and seek it out. I recommend you don't do it. But as many of you, I've seen the same video likely that you have. And when you watch a situation like that unfold, it is hard to argue that this is anything but full frontal political violence. Full-on political violence against an individual who had the courage and had the bravery to challenge ideas. You know, we often talk about this concept, this notion of the public square, right? Going back in history where people would gather and you'd hear people speak about a variety of issues. Charlie Kirk and his tour throughout the United States, and in some cases even internationally, but more predominantly here in the United States, traveling to college campuses, setting up a tent, inviting speakers. He very often would start his events saying, "Those that disagree with me, fight your way to the front and to the microphone," as he wanted to be challenged on the things that he believed. You know, politics is a nasty, nasty game, and that was on full display yesterday, unfortunately. But his willingness to be challenged on his ideas, his willingness to challenge other people on their ideas, is what the public square, as it used to be known as, really was all about. And we are so divorced from that idea. We are so divorced from that reality in the United States of America right now, that when people do speak up, when people do challenge those norms, challenge those ideas, challenge those thoughts, they are killed for it. Not for calling for the death of other individuals. Not for starting groups that run around the United States, stoking fear into individuals. No, simply questioning and challenging people's belief. Having an intellectual discussion and conversation on what I will admit are incredibly divisive issues. This is nothing new. There have always been divisive issues in politics. That's nothing new. But we have reached a fever pitch right now where people, predominantly on the political left, are so isolated in their thoughts. A situation where these individuals have had so many hateful, nonsensical things beaten into their brains for the better part of a decade now, that some folks believe it is justified to assassinate their political opponents. And when it happens, Some are cheering. Throughout social media, you've got people posting about the people saying, oh, well, Charlie Kirk was a douchebag and he deserved everything that he got. And, oh, isn't it ironic? The guy that supported the Second Amendment got shot. Looks like he deserved it. It is so incredibly fucked up. I can't even comprehend it. That's where we're at in our country. You support somebody having the constitutional right to bear arms, to protect themselves, to protect their family. And for that thought, which is enshrined in our United States Constitution, therefore, you deserve to be executed publicly? You deserve to be shot in broad daylight at a college campus? What the hell is, where the hell have we gone wrong? Where did we take the exit ramp off of any sort of semblance and normalcy that exists in the United States society? I get that Charlie Kirk has been demonized. I get that he was a controversial figure. But cheering and celebrating his death? I mean, I even saw a local post from the news director of WHQR posting about this, and the comment section was disgusting. These are the listeners of local NPR stations quoting Charlie Kirk's stances and thoughts on the Second Amendment as some sort of green light, some sort of green light for him to be assassinated? Really? That's where we're at in our country? That's where we're at with our level of political discord? It's disgusting and it's shameful. Watching this situation unfold in real time yesterday, I heard and seen a lot of commentary from folks saying this is incredibly sad and incredibly shocking. And I'll agree to one part of that. It's incredibly sad. But folks, it's not shocking at all. What happened to Charlie Kirk yesterday in Utah, I can genuinely say to you this morning, is not a shock. The political tensions in this country have risen so much over the last 10 years. The political tensions, and they've been bad in the past, they're pretty bad right now. You have people that have so much hatred and vitriol in their heart for individuals that they disagree with, that they not only wish people would get shot, they don't only wish that people would get killed. When it happens, they are actively cheering it on. They are actively applauding that situation. And it's not even just political. Look at the situation with the Luigi guy in New York City who murdered the CEO of United Healthcare. Cheered on by people on the political left. That's not even a political story. The guy's the CEO of a healthcare company. But because of his stature and because of the unjust medical system and the unjust insurance industry in the United States, he also deserved to be murdered. There are evil and bad people on both sides of the political aisle. I will contend that point to you this morning, no question about it. But folks, you don't see people on the right actively cheering on people getting assassinated. The CEO of United Healthcare, Charlie Kirk, yesterday in Utah, wishing that a gunman was successful in Butler, Pennsylvania last year. That's happening on the political left, and it is a growing issue. It is a growing problem for Democrats to deal with. President Donald Trump was the one that confirmed the news of Charlie Kirk's death yesterday. It was originally reported by a great journalist and somebody who I have a lot of respect for, John Solomon at Just the News. He was the first one to confirm Kirk's death. That was out there for about 15 or 20 minutes before President Donald Trump posted on Truth Social and confirmed the situation. President Donald Trump was the one that confirmed it. last night, the president took to social media, sitting behind the Resolute desk in the Oval Office, talking about Charlie Kirk, talking about the horrific events of Wednesday afternoon. And it's about a 4-minute video. I think it's important to listen to all of it. Here's President Donald Trump yesterday.
To my great fellow Americans, I am filled with grief and anger at the heinous assassination of Charlie Kirk on a college campus in Utah. Charlie inspired millions, and tonight, all who knew him and loved him are united in shock and horror. Charlie was a patriot who devoted his life to the cause of open debate and the country that he loved so much, the United States of America. He fought for liberty, democracy, justice, and the American people. He's a martyr for truth and freedom, and there has never been anyone who was so respected by youth. Charlie was also a man of deep, deep faith, and we take comfort in the knowledge that he is now at peace with God in heaven. Our prayers are with his wife, Erica, the two young, beloved children, and his entire family, who he loved more than anything in the world. We ask God to watch over them in this terrible hour of heartache and pain. This is a dark moment for America. Charlie Kirk traveled the nation, joyfully engaging with everyone interested in good faith debate. His mission was to bring young people into the political process, which he did better than anybody ever, to share his love of country and to spread the simple words of common sense. On campuses nationwide, he championed his ideas with courage, logic, humor, and grace. It's long past time for all Americans and the media to confront the fact that violence and murder are the tragic consequence of demonizing those with whom you disagree day after day, year after year, in the most hateful and despicable way possible. For years, those on the radical left have compared wonderful Americans like Charlie to Nazis and the world's worst mass murderers and criminals. This kind of rhetoric is directly responsible for the terrorism that we're seeing in our country today, and it must stop right now. My administration will find each and every one of those who contributed to this atrocity and to other political violence, including the organizations that fund it and support it, as well as those who go after our judges, law enforcement officials, and everyone else who brings order to our country. From the attack on my life in Butler, Pennsylvania last year, which killed a husband and father, to the attacks on ICE agents, to the vicious murder of a healthcare executive in the streets of New York, to the shooting of House Majority Leader Steve Scalise and three others, radical left political violence has hurt too many innocent people and taken too many lives. Tonight, I ask all Americans to commit themselves to the American values for which Charlie Kirk lived and died, the values of free speech, citizenship, the rule of law, and the patriotic devotion and love of God. Charlie was the best of America, and the monster who attacked him was attacking our whole country. An assassin tried to silence him with a bullet, but he failed, because together we will ensure that his voice, his message, and his legacy will live on for countless generations to come. Today, because of this heinous act, Charlie's voice has become bigger and grander than ever before, and it's not even close. May God bless his memory, may God watch over his family, and may God bless the United States of America. Thank you.
President Donald Trump commenting from the Oval Office in a post on social media last night. And the president brings up some very solid points. And as I say this, it's the president is bringing up things that, unfortunately, those on the political right, this is not new. The president said something in that I found very interesting, and it's something that you have probably talked about yourself with your friends. You've heard other folks on the right talk about. And it is the groups that fund this kind of vitriol and hatred. The groups, the so-called nonprofits, the NGOs, all of these left-wing activist groups that are funded at the tune of something, in some cases, hundreds of millions of dollars a year. Now, of course, the political left, no surprise at all. These are the same folks that claim that the MAGA right was using the brutal killing of Irina Zaruska in Charlotte as a political blowtorch. These same individuals this morning are screaming about how Donald Trump is now going to go around the country and round them up. People are cowards. This is the same group of individuals that is constantly professing diversity, equity, inclusion, being able to speak your mind, so on and so forth. All of the constant bullshit, gaslighting, and placating from the left. Free speech this, free speech that. It is nothing more than political posturing. They have never believed it, and they continue to not believe it. They can say it all they want. They can make their claims publicly about how they're the party of tolerance and so on and so forth. You and I know there is not a lick of truth to what they say. There's no tolerance on the left side of the political aisle. They even within their own party say some of the most vitriolic, hateful things about people that are not far enough to the left. And so when they're talking about people that they agree with on most political issues like that, what do you think they say about you or me? What do you think they say about Charlie Kirk? The president also highlighted and honed in on the media. And this is something that should not be lost on anybody. For now a decade, anybody that is even around the sphere of Donald Trump has been labeled, has been deemed a racist, a Nazi, a bigot, a misogynist, a this, a that, for 10 years. Anybody that is on the right side of the political aisle. Am I supposed to believe that that doesn't play on the psyche of deranged individuals on the political left that want to enact violence? Folks, I'm going to break it down as simply as I can. I don't have any other way to describe it but this. When you claim somebody is literally, this is what they say, right? You are literally Hitler. Are you then supposed to believe, and are you supposed to come to the understanding that when somebody murders the person that they believe is literally Hitler, that they don't feel that they're justified and right doing that? I can only describe it as this. You can't, for a decade, run around and broadcast that people that you disagree with politically are some of the worst people that have ever existed in human history, the likes of Adolf Hitler and the Nazi regime in Germany, and then be shocked and surprised when people try and literally kill them. And so while the reaction to this has been coming in, and there's been a lot of folks on the political left, and everybody's saying it, I've seen Josh Stein posted about it, Roy Cooper, a whole bunch of other Democrats, about, oh, we condone political violence, we condone political violence. Bullshit. You don't condone political violence. You can't call someone a Hitler and a Nazi for a decade and then say, oh, well, we condone political violence. You would condone violence against those individuals, right? You would condone political violence against the likes of actually the guy who was Adolf Hitler, wouldn't you? So what do you, I'm supposed to believe that you condone violence when you call us those names and attribute us with the atrocities committed by those people for a decade? And now you're going to go on social media? Now you're going to go on MSNBC and CNN and say that you are standing up against political violence? Absolutely not. You can't say that out of one side of your mouth and then claim that you condone violence. Bullshit. The media, mainstream Democrats, publications like the New York Times and the Washington Post, they are the ones that have allowed the political tension in this country to grow to the fever pitch that it is right now. They have demonized everybody on the political right now for 10 plus years. They have used their platforms. They have used their advertisers. They have used their stupid talking heads to demonize everything that you and I believe in. And it's why I mentioned earlier that I'm not shocked that Charlie Kirk was killed yesterday. It is the, as anybody can see, it is the realistic next step with the rhetoric that we see. It is the realistic conclusion of events when you see and read some of the things that are, these aren't fringe posts on Blue Sky. These aren't fringe Facebook comments. This is the kind of garbage and crap that runs on major television networks with millions of viewers 24/7. This stuff is not shouted in some guy's mother's basement. This stuff is being broadcast on national television. This stuff is being written in news articles and published in newspapers that have circulations of hundreds of thousands of people, day in and day out. So when I am reading posts from Josh Stein and Roy Cooper and a plethora, Gavin Newsom and everybody else about condoning political violence, no, they don't condone political violence. They're afraid about what could potentially happen to them. That's why they're claiming that they condone political violence. If they truly felt that way, they would not attribute people on the political right to some of the worst individuals that have ever existed in human history. But they don't. The left is always willing to take shortcuts. The left is always willing to do whatever it takes in the name of political expedience. And you are now watching that manifest. You are watching the end result of those policies. People are so deranged. People have been literally brainwashed into the notion, into the idea that people on the right want women's rights stripped away, that they want people that might not be white to be treated different in society, that they want people deported from the United States of America, regardless of their immigration status. These are the things that folks on the left have had beaten into their brains for a decade. And you don't think that has an impact? You don't think that that preys on the minds of individuals who are being spoon-fed this narrative? Spoon-fed this kind of media, if you want to call it that, day in and day out for 10 years? The president's statements last night in the Oval Office are very powerful. We have reached a tipping point in our country. We have reached a situation where, honest to God, sitting here this morning, on the 24th anniversary of the September 11th, 2001 terror attacks, I genuinely don't know what happens from here. I genuinely don't know what the next steps are. It's not going to stop, I don't think. I don't think it's going to get any better. I mean, on the House floor yesterday, Republicans attempted to take a moment of silence for Charlie Kirk, for Democrats to booing on the House floor during a moment of silence for a 31-year-old father of two newly married husband who was assassinated in public. Booing a moment of silence on the House floor screaming no when a member of the Republican congressional delegation asked Speaker Mike Johnson to observe a moment of silence. These people are evil. These people want us dead. And I'm not saying that to be cute or to be bombastic this morning. I posted this on social media yesterday, and I stand by every single word that I said. The left has put every outspoken conservative in their crosshairs. It's the truth. Every single one of us. They don't want us to speak. They don't want us to be able to proclaim our thoughts or our ideas. They don't want to have open debate. They want to put a crosshair on your forehead. Can you imagine a situation where during a moment of silence, you're booing a 31-year-old guy who was not an elected official, not a politician, was not seeking public office, a 31-year-old father of two, and a husband had his neck ripped apart by a gunman, assassinated in front of 3,000 people. And you're on the House floor. You are a freaking elected member of Congress. You represent potentially hundreds of thousands of people in your district. And you're booing a moment of silence? And I'm supposed to believe that those folks condone political violence, right? I'm supposed to believe all of the commentary on social media, all of the talking heads on CNN and MSNBC and all the other news outlets. I'm supposed to believe that they condone political violence. The same folks that are booing during a moment of silence for a 31-year-old guy who was shot and killed in broad daylight, really? I don't buy it. I hope you don't buy it either. I've got some additional reaction to the situation unfolding in Utah yesterday. Of course, the big breaking news this morning, Charlie Kirk dead, assassinated, murdered at the age of 31 years old while hosting an event at Utah Valley University, doing exactly what he loved to do. Speak publicly, challenge people, have debate, and allow public discourse. And for that, he was murdered. And some folks on the left are cheering it on. A commentator, I'll have the clip coming up in a minute, commentator on MSNBC yesterday said, well, you know, he's a controversial figure, so kind of expect that. Mm-hmm. That's the left, folks. That is your modern Democrat Party. If you're a controversial figure, yeah, you deserve to take a bullet to the throat. You deserve to be slaughtered, executed, assassinated in broad daylight because you say things that are deemed controversial. And again, this is the same party that now wants to talk about condoning political violence. Get the fuck out of here. I don't absurd. I don't believe it for one second. You have to excuse my profanity on the show today. We are at a fever pitch in this country. I'm done with the placating. I'm done with the gaslighting. I'm done with the constant two-faced speaking out of both sides of the mouth garbage that you hear from the left. I'm over it. I and everybody else listening or watching this morning, we know who these people are. We know what they truly want. And we know that they will go to any ends to accomplish that goal. We'll get into some more reaction to the Charlie Kirk situation unfolding in Utah yesterday. It's a tough show, a tough morning. We'll grab a quick break. We'll hear from our good friends at the Law Group here in Wilmington, and we'll get some of your reaction coming in live this morning on our social media channels, YouTube, Rumble, X, Facebook, and 24/7, wherever you get your podcasts. I really can't put into words the gratitude that I have for the audience of this show, for the folks that support the show financially over at our Patreon, patreon.com/Nick Craig. I haven't really talked about this publicly, but now seems like a good time to do it. I really haven't expressed a lot of the detail on it. As many of you know, a little over a year ago, back in January, I was fired from my morning position here in Wilmington for speaking up after President Donald Trump was shot. I was censored for being a conservative, for expressing my outrage over somebody attempting to kill President, at the time, former President, now President Donald Trump in Butler, Pennsylvania. And so I'm so grateful. And the last year has been a rather interesting one, to say the least, with some of the turmoil there, trying to scramble and figure out what's next. And I can only express my gratitude and thanks to individuals that have supported me along this road. And now I don't have to worry about that. I don't have to worry about towing some bullshit corporate line and getting my talking points from people that are so out of touch with what's going on as it relates to modern politics, so out of touch with what is actually being discussed at the water coolers, being discussed in political circles. And I'm so grateful to have the opportunity to do that. And one of the individuals that has been with me the entire time is Melissa Gott and the folks over at the Law Group. And all I can say this morning is, without her support, without the support of the good folks over at the Law Group, the experienced attorneys over there that provide incredibly high quality legal services, they're not paying me to say that I used their services. It's not possible. And so I want to express my gratitude and thanks to Melissa and her partners that have come on board, supported this show financially, and give me the opportunity to have these tough conversations, to be able to say things that might be controversial, to say things that might not be the norm, to say things that are on people's mind. It's not possible without her support. If you have any legal challenges, I would highly, highly recommend you reach out to the Law Group. You can give them a call at 910-251-6088, or you can visit them online at lawgroupnc.com. It's literally not possible. And so we talk about the Law Group, we talk about Melissa and the great folks over there each and every morning. None of it's possible without them in this dynamic, changing media landscape. So I want to thank her publicly for her support. She's been a longtime supporter of me, has ridden through the highs and the lows, and there's been plenty on either side of the mountain as you go up and down. So appreciate her support this morning and all the folks that support the show financially on Patreon, as so many folks break away from the corporate media entities that don't allow this kind of discussion to take place, that want to censor discussions, very important political discussions that need to take place across our country, like the Butler, Pennsylvania situation in July of last year, like the Charlie Kirk situation that happened in Utah yesterday, the COVID-19 pandemic. When speaking up, when voicing your opinion was so detrimental that you lost your job, which is exactly what happened to me. I often wonder, you know, did I do the right thing? Should I have just shut up and gotten fed the line of garbage that my bosses were telling me I needed to say and needing to do? And really, yesterday kind of proved point example that what I did was right, and it needed to be done. And Charlie Kirk really exemplifies, if you're not willing to stand up and speak when it might not be the best thing for you personally, but it's the right thing to do, you need to do it. And so, again, I can't express my gratitude and thanks to everybody that has been along on this ride. Many of you following me for years back on the radio here in Wilmington, and of course this new endeavor. Again, thank you so much. I can't thank you enough for that. So just looking at some news coming in this morning on the Charlie Kirk situation, the FBI is reporting that the shooter is still at large. That was went to bed last night. That was still the situation. That was still the case. And it would appear this morning that local, state, and now federal law enforcement is continuing their search to hunt down the individuals, potentially more, but it seems like just one person that is responsible for the assassination of Charlie Kirk. There's been a lot said, a lot of positive things said about Charlie. The governor of Utah, where this horrific situation unfolded yesterday, I thought had some very powerful words about Charlie Kirk and about the situation as a whole. Here is the Utah governor yesterday afternoon. Take a listen.
Celebrating 250 years of the founding of this great nation, that founding document, the Declaration of Independence, that this great experiment on which we embarked together 250 years ago, that we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights. The first one of those is life. And today, a life was taken. Charlie Kirk was first and foremost a husband and a dad to two young children. He was also very much politically involved, and that's why he was here on campus. Charlie believed in the power of free speech and debate to shape ideas and to persuade people. Historically, our university campuses in this nation and here in the state of Utah have been the place where truth and ideas are formulated and debated. And that's what he does. He comes on college campuses and he debates. That is foundational to the formation of our country, to our most basic constitutional rights. And when someone takes the life of a person because of their ideas or their ideals, then that very constitutional foundation is threatened. Now, we have a person of interest in custody. The investigation is ongoing. But I want to make it crystal clear right now, to whoever did this, we will find you. We will try you. And we will hold you accountable to the furthest extent of the law. And I just want to remind people that we still have the death penalty here in the state of Utah.
That's Spencer Cox, the Republican governor of Utah, where Charlie Kirk was assassinated during one of his Turning Point USA events taking place at Utah Valley University yesterday, talking about the, just again, unimaginable time that we are living in right now, where debating... going to a college campus, or hell, going anywhere and debating an issue, going anywhere and just talking publicly and freely about, yes, as I've said and as I will admit, at times, controversial issues. For that, he was gunned down. For that, he was murdered. And for some on the political left, they believe it was totally justified. They believe that if you speak controversial things, you deserve to be met by an assassin's bullet. Take a listen to this garbage on MSNBC yesterday afternoon.
But following up with what was just said, he's been one of the most divisive, especially divisive younger figures in this. who is constantly sort of pushing this sort of hate speech or sort of aimed at certain groups. And I always go back to hateful thoughts lead to hateful words, which then lead to hateful actions.
Wow. Fortunately, the moron that you heard in that clip, Matthew Dowd, was fired by MSNBC, as he should have been, for just being a disgusting, despicable human being. That's the left, folks. This is not me reading the tea leaves as to what some folks on the political left think. You just heard it straight from the horse's, not his mouth, but his ass. Charlie Kirk was a controversial figure. Hate speech, and when you say hateful things and you do hateful things, you deserve to be gunned down by an assassin's bullet. That's what Matthew Dowd said while this was happening. This is before he was even reportedly dead on MSNBC yesterday afternoon. It doesn't get any worse than that. But this is the thought from some on the left. If you dare to speak, and who the hell is the arbiter of what is controversial? MSNBC? They get to tell me? They get to tell you? Matthew Dowd gets to determine? He is the set arbiter on what is determined and deemed to be controversial? Who defines that, Matt? You? Joe Scarborough and his wife? Mika? Al Sharpton on MSNBC? They're the ones that get to determine what is hate speech? What is controversial? And if you happen to be a controversial figure, well, then I guess you should expect an assassin's bullet. It doesn't get any lower than that. It doesn't get any worse than that. This was immediately after the report of the shooting. This is within probably 45 minutes, maybe an hour after the initial reports, when it was still up in the air whether Charlie Kirk was fighting for his life in a hospital or was already dead. And this is the kind of coverage. These are the kinds of experts. This is the kind of political rhetoric that Donald Trump talked about in his Oval Office address last night. This is the kind of political rhetoric that you've heard people on the right calling out for years now. I'm not a person that subscribes to the idea that inherently words and hate speech equate violence, because I don't think that that's true at all. And I don't think that Matthew Dowd's ridiculously stupid comments cause violence to take place. What I do think is that dehumanizing individuals based on their political ideology, dehumanizing people for having an opinion that might be different than yours, equating them to some of the most atrocious human beings that have ever existed in American history, world history, I should say, that is what causes folks to play out political violence. Sean Hannity said that very well last night on his program. Take a listen to this.
Where are the leaders on the left that will challenge this madness, that will speak out against it? And I'll add that anyone that claims to be a conservative or MAGA or pro-Donald Trump that uses that type of extreme violent rhetoric, the same goes for you. There are some idiots that claim to be conservative. They are not. But the left has given us 10 non-stop years of rage and hatred and vile language. And it's undeniable that it is poisoning the minds of many people in our country. And it needs to end.
Sean Hannity is absolutely right. It is poisoning the minds of individuals. And it's completely predictable. And unfortunately, it's completely expected. When you make these kinds of comments about people that are not violent, whether you are a fan of Charlie Kirk or not, he was not running around the United States telling people to pick up arms and attack their political opposition. He was not running around the United States telling people to treat people they disagreed with harshly because of their political beliefs or their political ideology. That was actually quite the contrary. He would allow and platform those individuals, which is something that the left can't comprehend, right? They don't want to give a platform to anybody that they disagree with. Charlie Kirk did exactly that. He was an unabashed conservative. He was an unabashed supporter of President Donald Trump, the MAGA, and modern Republican Party. And instead of isolating himself like the left does and putting himself in an echo chamber where nobody else speaks besides him, he invited, publicly invited debate, publicly invited discourse that was different from his own. And so, as I mentioned earlier, where did we fall off the rails here, folks? Where did we go wrong in society that free speech and debate is so disastrous to those on the political left that it needs to be met with an assassin's bullet? That's where we're at right now. As we sit here this morning, that is where we're at. Free speech, which the left also tends to call hate speech. Free speech is so damning to those on the left. Free speech is such a foreign concept to those on the left that the only solution to deal with it is to not debate your ideals, not to stand strong on your morals and your beliefs and articulate your arguments. No, not at all. We need to literally shut down this speech, not by canceling an event, which they've done to Charlie Kirk dozens of times, not by blackmailing him, trying to cancel him or ruin him. No, literally killing him. That is where we're at. The solution to free speech, the solution to having political disagreement, is met by the barrel of a gun. It doesn't get any worse than that. And it's all over the place. It's consistent. And I don't know how you begin the process of turning back from it. It's a hard ship to turn. When you have Democrats in the House of Representatives yesterday booing a moment of silence for a 31-year-old father of two, where do you go from there? Here's Anna Paulina Luna on that yesterday unfolding in the Capitol. She obviously very fired up.
The fact that we asked for a moment of prayer for Charlie Kirk and then the Democrats decided at that point in time to try to shout that down. First and foremost, Charlie Kirk is now pronounced deceased. He was murdered. I don't know anything about the suspect yet. I think everyone's waiting to hear that. But that type of rhetoric is the exact type of rhetoric that got him killed. So to be clear, we should have been allowed to pray for Charlie. I would encourage the speaker to go back tomorrow and let us pray on the floor for Charlie Kirk's family now and the rest of the people that have been impacted by this terrible loss.
Congresswoman, you said they caused this.
Most certainly, yes, they did cause this. That type of rhetoric, you calling people fascists, you basically saying that we're Nazis, take away people's rights. Charlie Kirk was literally murdered. And you can see that footage online, and I would encourage people, instead of sharing that, please share pictures of his family and the legacy that he left.
Congresswoman, he recruited you to politics. Can you talk a little bit about your early experience with Mr. Kirk?
Yeah, I was supposed to go to medical school, and he convinced me that politics would be a better option. So we'll help continue that fight and forward the movement.
I mean, it doesn't get any lower than that. It doesn't get any lower than shouting down, booing, during a moment of silence for a guy that was killed. I mentioned at the open, I'm at a loss for words. I mean, how do you describe that situation? How do you put into words people that would boo or shut down an attempt to pray for an individual, pray for his wife and his two young kids that will never have the memories of their father going forward? How can you describe that at all, except for pure, unadulterated evil? There's no words. This is not, again, folks, fringe. These are elected members of Congress. These are people that are in Washington, D.C., representing hundreds of thousands of people in their district. They are so screwed up in the head. They are so brainwashed into their leftist, lunatic culture that they can't even give a moment of silence for somebody who was killed while exemplifying free speech. It's why I mentioned, I don't really know where we go from here, because what do you do with that? Of course, all of this taking place yesterday, and as we look at the date this morning, September the 11th, 2025, the 24-year anniversary of the worst terrorist attack ever perpetrated on United States soil. Planes being hijacked and flown into the two World Trade Centers in Washington, D.C. Planes being hijacked, flown into the Pentagon, where more than 200 people, civilians and government workers, men and women of the U.S. military perishing. The brave souls that forced their way into the cockpit as a plane flew over Pennsylvania, trying to stop more tragedy from taking place. The first responders, the firefighters, the police officers, the paramedics that rushed into burning, crumbling buildings in Washington, D.C. to save their fellow man. Today is a very, very tough day. Coming up here in a little bit, as is an occurrence each and every September the 11th in New York City, you will have the reading of all of the victims that perished in those September 11th attacks, the first responders, the folks working in the two Trade Center buildings. It's tough. Today, and over the last really week or so, the murder of Irina Zaruska and Charlotte, Charlie Kirk being assassinated at an event yesterday, and now the anniversary, the 24th anniversary of September the 11th. These are tough days. It is a lot to take in. It is a lot to try and describe and decipher. Of course, we pay our respects to the brave men and women of the NYPD, the NYFD, the paramedics in New York City that rushed into what at the time could only be described as one of the most horrific things ever seen. Buildings burning in Midtown Manhattan. Folks jumping for their lives as they were engulfed in smoke and flames, only for both of those buildings to later collapse. There are a bunch of memorial events taking place across the Cape Fear region today. I just want to go through these quickly. Coming up here in about 45 minutes at Wrightsville Beach, there will be a remembrance ceremony at the Public Safety Building. That starts at 8:45 this morning. The USS Battleship North Carolina is lit up in red, white, and blue today in observation of the memory of those that lost their lives in the 9/11 attacks. The Wilmington Fire Department will be hosting a 9/11 remembrance event at 9 a.m. at Fire Station 2. That's at Empire Park. They do a great job with that every year. That event will also be live streamed. Over at UNCW, a ceremony taking place at 8:30. Same thing at Cape Fear Community College as well. Bunch of other events across the area and region as well. WECT's got an article on it this morning. The headline there, 9/11 memorial events happening across the Cape Fear region. It's a tough day. It's a tough week. And don't really know what else to say on that. So that's it, at least for right now. Obviously, the shooter still at large. the FBI alongside state and local law enforcement in Utah doing everything that they can, trying to collect as much information as possible to track down the perpetrator responsible for the assassination of Charlie Kirk. My guess would be we'll probably learn some more details throughout the day today. And of course, I'll keep you up to date with those here on the show and on my social media channels as well. So very much a somber, hard couple of days, and definitely a really tough show this morning. So with that, again, can't thank each and every one of you enough. Can't thank the great folks over at the Law Group that allow this to take place each and every weekday morning. These are important conversations. They're tough. I was talking to my girlfriend about this yesterday. You know, it's you go and you get introduced to people in non-political settings, and for years, so I've always felt, you know, it's a little bit uncomfortable. People ask, "Oh, what do you do?" You say, "Oh, well, I'm a, you know, in the years past, I'm a, you know, radio. I work in, I'm a radio host." "Oh, well, what kind?" Political radio. "Oh, like what kind of political radio?" "Conservative talk radio." So you get some weird reactions from time to time. If we take anything away from the tragedy in Utah yesterday, don't be afraid. Don't be silenced. Don't cower in fear over what somebody might think about your beliefs, your political beliefs, the things that you hold dear, your faith. Charlie Kirk exemplified, probably better than anybody else, a willingness to be unabashed in the things that they believed, whether from a faith perspective or a political perspective. And I would say this morning that it is incumbent on each and every one of us to pick up that torch and run with it. That doesn't mean you act a fool in public. That doesn't mean that you spit on and dismiss people that you disagree with politically. It means you stand strong for the things that you believe in, that you wholeheartedly believe in. Again, whether that be a political issue or some sort of faith discussion, faith belief, you've got to run with that. Don't let Charlie Kirk's death and passing happen in vain. He gave courage to each, and I would argue, gave courage to each and every person in this country, regardless of their political beliefs and political standpoints, that it's okay to have disagreements, that it's okay to have debate. And it's something that we should welcome as a society. It's something that we should welcome as citizens of the United States. You know, you hear conversations from folks about how the United States is this terrible country, that it's so oppressive of a nation. There is not another place on God's green earth where you're allowed to have different viewpoints, when you're allowed to have very, very tough, very, very emotional, and very, very important political discussion, faith discussion, and debates. And you don't have to worry about your government coming and rounding you up. You don't have to worry, or at least you shouldn't have to worry about dealing with retaliation for that. We've got to get back to a period of time where it's okay to have disagreements. But as Charlie Kirk did so well, he literally died doing it yesterday. Don't be afraid. Don't cower. Don't scurry in fear. Be strong in your faith. Be strong in your moral beliefs. And be strong in the things that you feel are important to you, and important to your family, important to your community, whatever the issue may be. Be strong in that. Charlie Kirk did it better than, I would have to argue, literally anybody else in our modern political spectrum. Don't let his death be in vain. We're back tomorrow morning.